Blessings of Light, and welcome today to Astrophysics Class 2-2. You've been having a wonderful time sharing. At the beginning of each of your classes, you've been sharing. I haven't said much about this. But what I would like to say today, it is important that you do share and not set back and just let others share. By sharing, you are crystallizing your thoughts and your experiences. You're making them more solid to your perception. The crystal we're asking for is a flowing crystal, not a hard crystal that can be shattered into many pieces, but that flowing crystal of living life, that pureness. And so we share our life by sharing our experiences, by sharing those things in our development that are uplifting. We're not seeking to share our personal problems or get into a bunch of personality games. We do not want you to share at these levels. We want you to share in your experiences, in the meditations, in the higher consciousness, in your associations with God. This is what we're seeking to become solid in this course, to become more God conscious, to become masters of ourselves. So sharing is very important. And the sharing of the golden circle from last week is very important in the first solidities to your third eye, to your mystical eye, to your spiritual eye. You are learning now to stabilize the vision. You will see that sometimes you are making up this circle in your creative imagination, but you will eventually see it in its reality. So sharing is important. Tonight's lesson, we'll be talking about the various bodies of consciousness. The physical body, the emotional body, the mental body, the psychic body, the creative body, the individual body, and the universal body. We'll be talking about the various bodies of consciousness. We'll also be talking about the glands tonight. Now, the glands are very important to your body and to your consciousness, that you understand that these glands control the chemical balance of the body, and the chemical balance controls the electromagnetic energies, and the electric magnetic energies control what area of consciousness you are picking up or perceiving. So if there's an imbalance in the glandular structure of the body, if there's an imbalance of one of these areas, it will throw off perception in that particular area. We have the gonads, we have the spleen, the pancreas, the thymus gland, the thyroid gland, the pituitary gland, and the pineal gland. Now, some of you may have been thinking about the adrenal glands here at the third level. Now, there is also the adrenals here, and these adrenals are used for action of the body and action of the physical dimension. But what we're attuning to is spiritual action. We want spirit to move our body rather than our mind move our body or physical power move the body through conditioned reaction. You know, you can condition your subconscious mind, you just take certain actions. So we are eliminating the concentration on those adrenals. They're usually overdeveloped, overused. I mean, if you take coffee, you're causing your adrenal glands to accelerate, and then you're always on the edge. Some people say, I can't get going unless I have my coffee. So you get their adrenals going. When you are in a case of threat, where something is threatening you, your adrenals go, and then you either have fear or flight. You'll either fight or you'll flee away. And so we want to take our attention off of these adrenals so much and go to the pancreas, which stabilizes thought and the mind and the energies of perception there. We're also going to be working with the chakras here, the root chakra, the spleen chakra, the navel chakra, the heart chakra, the throat chakra, the brow chakra, and the crown chakra. And at the end of this lesson, I'll go over a chakra chart with you and show you these chakras and how they relate to the body. We're also discussing the rays of the rainbow, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet, gold, and white rays. We're taking the gland structure up to the violet ray. The gold is not bound by glands in the body, neither is the white light. These are universal fields of consciousness. These are individual applied fields. They do have a direct connection to your physical body. As we began to understand this association of the bodies and the glands and the rays, we will deeper and deeper probe into the reality of it in our own life. We will probe into the functions and the relationships and the expressions of these rays as you associate them with the different parts of your body. We are grounding this energy first to the nervous system, as we've been doing. And you gazed upon your auric egg last week, which is an activation of a very subtle part of the nervous system. And you'll be continuing those gazing exercises. They help also, these gazing exercises that we're giving you, help you stabilize the glands. And so you'll be able to stabilize the glands within you as you see this energy moving through. So at the end of the lesson today, we'll discuss the chakras and their relationships to the glands and to your universal bodies. I wanted to put this structure first in your mind. Now we are going to discuss the movement of these light rays. And for our purpose of discussion tonight, we'll talk about using these rays for healing purposes, bringing back to health, to bring back to a calm, relaxed state, from a tense state to a relaxed state, from a dis-ease to at-ease state. And so there are 24 rules of universal proportion that we are going to apply towards healing tonight. And later on you will see how their associations were with this chart that we just covered. The first thing to know that this system that we are using is called Touch of Light. The system we are using is called Touch of Light. This is the healing system we're using. In this particular healing system, we have took all of the physical healing systems and the mental and spiritual healing systems, and we've incorporated in one dynamic power. And later on in the course, you will have lessons strictly on healing. But tonight, we're going to give you the basic structure. We're programming the subconscious mind. We're working with the orange ray. We are putting in now the patterns that we will be using in the systems and the cycles and categories and the Akasha light and rays that we'll be using later on. And we need the foundation in the subconscious mind for it. So the first principle or power to know in the touch of light is energy follows thought. Energy follows thought. Wherever you are paying attention, your energy is going. Your thoughts will go in the direction of where you pay attention. So as you consciously pay attention and hold your attention on a particular person, place, thing, location, area of consciousness, ray of light, master, God, as you hold your attention there, your thoughts will go there and return from there. See, the thoughts will go out from you across this line and come back to you. So attention creates a line. You can pay attention to something that's very close or very far away from you, but now there's an attention line and it picks up thoughts when you're receptive coming to you. It sends thoughts when you're being aggressive. So you can aggressively or assertively send a thought, or you can be passive and receive a thought. And so we are seeking to be passive receivers, to absorb, to bring the thought to us. So when we look at something, we want the thought patterns off of that form that's in creation, that we may decipher it, we may have mastery over it, we may have some access of abilities to control within that field of consciousness which we are gazing on. Gazing is a very important part of focusing attention to have energy follow thought. The more attention paid there, the longer the energy becomes forces, and the forces become power. So as energy follows thought, as the thought is built, then it becomes a force, then it becomes a power. So as you're sending healing energies and you're focused on someone, along that line is energy going out. But before the energy goes out, before you ever start sending, you have to know what's wrong. You need to let something come back. But you don't want the disease or the negative to take part in you, so you must be able to witness this at a detached state of consciousness from your higher spiritual levels of consciousness, not from your ego-oriented consciousness. So you go over your bridge, you reach your highest point, you come out from that point, and you gaze upon somebody in your purity and your perfection. So whatever comes back, it is healed in that purity and perfection. Then you'll be given a realization. You'll be given a word of knowledge or word of wisdom about that person through that golden wave of realization. And then you'll be able to send out, you'll be impressed by God to send out a particular ray. If you're a pure channel for God, you're not even consciously selecting what ray to send out. You're just watching the whole thing. You're witness to the whole thing. So watch it. Watch it. What you're watching, that's where your attention is going. So watch your watching. I remember when we first started this training, Linda Harrison, who's the vice president of the school and the church, we used to go around the office saying, watch it, to each other, so that we'd become super conscious of where our attention was. And so when people would hear this, they'd say, what are they telling you to watch? To watch it. So energy follows thought. The second rule is color healing first restores symmetry to the inner bodies. Color healing first restores symmetry to the inner bodies. It brings the mind and the energies of the physical body and the spiritual body. It brings these all together. It brings them into a unity, physiologically, psychologically, spiritual. It joins all three worlds. So this type of color healing, the touch of light healing that we're doing, it first restores the symmetry to the inner body. It's what is in you that comes out from you. It's what is in you that comes out from you. And so when you go deep within and you correlate there, then everything will come out in harmony. But if you have chaos inside, you cannot expect harmony outside. If you're worrying about something happening, it will certainly come out of you sooner or later. Persons, places, and things will be magnetized to fulfill it. So be careful that you realize that it's what's in you that has the power and not the outside things. You know, you may be under the influence of outside power when inner strength is what you're looking for, that you may come from yourself, master of light, master on the path to higher consciousness. So know that this type of healing, this light healing, first comes from the deepest point, actually at the parasympathetic level of the nervous system, that light level of the nervous system. The third rule here, or power, or principle that we are talking about, is healing through the etheric, the related chakra, and not the organ itself, to heal through the etheric levels. The chakras are on the etheric level. They're the physico-etherical level. See, that the chakra is made up of the chemical ethers, the light ethers, the life ethers of the body. So it's life, light, chemical, and the heat ethers. So the heat, the life, those chemical ethers, all of these radiating off of the nervous system in the etherical level, and the etherical level radiating to the physical level. See, this is a transition between from the physiological level to the next level, the astral level. And so you are moving into the finer parts of the physical level, that which is usually unseen. But you can feel the heat of the body. I mean, if you put your hand close to someone's body, you'll feel the heat. And if you move it slowly over, you'll feel that there's cold spots and hot spots on that body. It means that energy is either being jammed up there if it's hot. If it's cold, then it's leaking out. But if it's natural like the rest of the body, then it's in harmony or in flow with the rest of the body. So as you work with this healing energy, you concentrate on the chakra. It will send the energy in through the chakra into the gland, and then that will change the organs about it. And so you're coming from this finer etherical state, and so you do all your healing levels at that level of consciousness. You're not trying to penetrate and focus on the physical. You're letting the natural healing within the bodies come into action by concentrating on the etherical level of those chakras. The fourth is magnetism. Magnetism, whether it's animal or otherwise, magnetism will not let lie. See, as soon as you start generating a power towards someone else, by your energy following thought, by the color ray that you may be impressed to send, you will not let the energy that's there be still. It won't let it lie. See? It causes it to have action. And so it accelerates the energy. It brings it up to a higher vibration. Disease is caused by low vibratory rates of consciousness, away from the natural flow of life. When life is flowing natural through the body and through the mind and through the soul and through creativity and through individuality and through your spirit, when life is flowing unobstructedly, it's pure. But when it is obstructed, it gets diseased. That is disease, when your life is not flowing clearly. When you are flowing clearly with life, there's health there. And so you're seeking to restore life or restore health to the body, to the consciousness. And magnetism increases these lower vibrations and brings them up to consciousness. So you should tell the people when these things come up or when they come up in your life to let them go right away. Do not be bound up in them. Let them go from you. Let them go out from you. Don't let them be magnetized to you. Cause electric energy saying, this goes out from my center. Disease and suffering has no home in me. I am purity and perfection. I am free. The fifth rule here is those on the path react to disease and healing as quickly as a child. They react to the disease and to the healing as quickly as a child. Now, I remember being a sensitive and trained as a very young age, at age 5. I had a power of association identification right off. And if I heard someone describing a disease, I could get that disease. See, if I wanted it, I could just get it. And sometimes I wanted to get a disease so I could get ice cream or get out of work or do something like that. So I would concentrate on it, and pretty soon I'd have that disease. Well, my grandmother found out I was doing this, and she says, you know, you someday you're going to make yourself sick and hurt yourself. So you shouldn't do that. And she told me that after I had heard about diphtheria, and I decided to get some diphtheria. Well, it almost killed me. I was driven out of my body. I could see my body as my uncle was there trying to revive me. He put a stick in my mouth, forcing my tongue down, which was swollen up and turning black, and forced alcohol down my throat. Well, while I was in this light, a voice said, go back to the body. And so I went back in the body, choking of this stuff coming in my throat, and this was at the age 8. So it was like a death experience, because the body functions had stopped momentarily, and I could see the body wasn't breathing and didn't have any movement to it. I was out of it, and I had withdrawn out of it, and there was just this brilliant light about me, pure, beautiful white light about me, and in that light I heard the voice, go back. I knew I had work to do. And it was after that my grandmother told me, don't fool around with the diseases. That I'd got chicken pox and measles and mumps and whooping cough and ice cream and ice cream and ice cream. I really went for the ice cream. So you have to be very careful that you don't take on a disease because you want to get something done. I mean, some people, they'll call up and say, I'm really sick today, I can't make it to work. And so the guy says, okay, you know, don't come in. Then the next time you're really sick and you say, I don't think you're going to believe this, but I'm really sick. Saying, you don't know how did I get sick? See, you pretended to be sick, you let that in, and if you didn't clear it out, it comes out in manifestation. It started, you made it up in your mind, didn't you? You had it inside, and you start feeling that way, and you put it on. See? You put it on. Understand that. You put it on. You put on that character, and then you will get that character. If you put on goodness and the armor of God, you would have the character and the power of God. See, so watch what you're putting on. I used to put on some sickness when I was a child. I stopped that, and it took me many years to get clear from it. But I almost killed myself by this law of identification. So the fifth one is that innocence of a child. You react to things like a child. That was the point of my story. I did this when I was a child. When you're a child, you do childish things. When you get grown up, you should put these childish things aside that you may do these higher things, the better things, the more intelligent things, the closer to God, the closer to consciousness. So, as you are on the path, you become childlike and your healing becomes quick. If you're still an old fogey, well, then there's not much help for you. But if you get youthful again, you'll be okay. You see, let yourself come back to that nice youthful vibration. Recall your youthful days and vibrance and virility and strength. I've had a master and he was in his 80 years old. I couldn't even keep up with him. Now, he wasn't a spiritual master. He was a master in business and cooking. His name was Colonel Sanders. And boy, when I went with him, he was stepping out there. I felt like I had to run to keep up with him. And I was going, and when he was saying, let's go over here, and he was all calm, you see. He had a vibrance and exuberation in him. If you are working at it, you're going to start panning. If you are full of vibrance, you'll flow along with it, you see. And so as a child, you had that vibrant nature before it got all tangled up in mind, before it got all tangled up in emotions, in your knowledge, in your beliefs, and you were innocent there. You had your power when you're innocent. See, when you're at the white ray, you have the power. But when you get in these lower rays, you're restricted by your restrictions in them, how you see yourself in that ray. You have certain physical restrictions or emotional restrictions, mental restrictions, psychic, creative, individual, universal, spiritual restrictions you put upon yourself. All these will cause dis-ease because you are everything. And to settle for anything less than the best, you know you want the best in you, right? You know you want this best. Well, as a child, you're always expecting that it's all new and it's always the best, you see. But then you get older and you settle for less. Don't settle for less, nothing less than the best. You're an innocent child and it's God's good pleasure, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you all things. Know that. In the sixth one, it says, treat the cause and not the symptom. In the sixth rule or principle or power here, it says, treat the cause, not the symptom. You know, a lot of people are treating symptoms. And they say, okay, what's wrong? And you tell them what the symptoms are. But you don't tell them the cause, usually. Somewhere in there is a cause that is causing it. It's like, say I had a splinter in this finger. And I look at it, well, actually, I do have a splinter here in my wrist, I just noticed. Anyway, it looks like it's getting a little red. If I don't take this splinter out, pretty soon this is going to be very red and sore, you see. But if I take this splinter out, then that won't happen. But if I just try to treat the red and the soreness here without taking the splinter out, I may dull it out through some kind of anesthetic. I won't feel it. I can put stuff on there, and it may keep the infection down. But it'll keep coming back as soon as that wears off if I don't take and remove the splinter. Well, the cause is like that splinter. And some of you have causes that happen at different times in your life. And you will find later how the cycles of your life go, the 7-year cycles for men and the 6-year cycles for women. You'll find that out later. But they do have a definite effect. There were periods in your life when you were in different areas of your consciousness that you have created limitations, past knot rings, places you will not go beyond, images you fixed yourself in. You feel disease. You have to eliminate those causes. If you had somebody yell at you all the time, you may be anticipating other people yelling at you all the time. See, that would be disease, wouldn't it? It wouldn't be at ease. You couldn't be free of tension. You couldn't be free and at ease because you're ready to respond or take some defensive reaction, you see. The seventh rule here is to, whenever possible, to use natural forces, natural power, natural consciousness. Whenever possible, use the natural. Use the earth and the water and the fire and the air and the ethers. The herbs of the field, natural things. The things that God gave us. You know, there's so many chemically contrived things. Every one of them have side effects. A lot of times they don't tell you about the side effects. They tell you just what it will do for you. But it doesn't tell what it will do against you. And everything that you alter, you have a positive that you're altering to and a negative that is still there. And if you don't remove the negative, you will still have the problem. You know, people that take a lot of depressants or stimulants, it's because they didn't remove the cause that is stopping them. If they have to take stimulants, they didn't remove their lazy cause. And if they are suppressing their actions, then they didn't move the cause of causing the action, you see. So you have to remove the causes to get away from the drugs, to get away from the things that you're putting in your body to alter your consciousness that are not natural. If they did not come from God, they're not natural. You see, so the things that man's, you either have faith in man's medicine, or you have faith in God who gave you the herbs of the field and the foods of the field there to live healthily. You know, and so a lot of times you're eating the animals that eat the herbs and the vegetables, thinking you're going to get the power that they got. They've already used a bunch of that power, and so you're not getting it in full power unless you go right to the source. And so eating live foods instead of foods that are dying is important. So you use natural forces. Say a person is having a problem with the physical body. Well, physical and earth go together. Physical and earth go together. So as they need minerals for their body, they may need some cell salts, they may need minerals for their body, they may need to drink some mineral water, they may need to get out and work with their hands in the dirt, they may need to take their shoes off and just walk on the earth again, walk down the beach with your toes, getting sand between your toes, you know, get in touch with the earth again. Because if the physical body is having disease, it's trying to you're trying to withdraw from the earth, see. In the emotional level, it's water. Oceans, emotions, see? It's water. Well, tell the person to drink a lot of water, you see, and that'll flush through and that clears emotional energy. Or you can take a lot of showers, go out and take a swim. Some people might tell them, go jump in the lake, you know, but that's not very polite way to do it. But sometimes when people are all wet emotionally, we tell them, go jump in the lake, right? Because they're not really wet. They're just dripping all over us. So what we're seeking to do here is to have a clear flow. So I have some clear water flow over that individual. Showers, swimming. You know, salt water is great to take the fractured light out of your aura because the fractured crystals of salt magnetize the fractures in the auric structure. So taking a salt bath or going out and swimming in the ocean is real good for clearing the aura. Getting a little sea salt in the water and drinking a little of that will clear the inner field as well. So, or just clear waters flowing through. If you want clear water, clear mind, clear energy flowing through, you just drink a lot of water, you know, about 8 ounce glasses a day. It does wonders for your body, it does wonders for your emotional body. It gives you an ability to release. You have to go in there and release. See, if you're holding back your urine, it means you're holding back emotionally. You see, and if you have trouble with your urination, then you're having trouble with the natural flow of water. Your body is made up 90% of water, and it needs to flow. And a lot of times you hold water when you hold emotions. Air, that's for the soul. Fire is for the mind. See, if you have fire, you can have them go out in the sunshine. See, get the fire outside. Or some cayenne pepper. That'll get the fire inside, or some little red chilies. You know, it's interesting about red chilies. They help other herbs and that go to different parts of the body that's needed. And they're kind of a director drug, and they also, it comes from nature, a director herb, as we call it, or drug that comes from God. It's a natural flow in the body, and it directs to other parts of the body. The elements to the body. So fire is good. You know, some people that don't want hot food, they don't like action. Hot food and fire is rajas or action food. See. So then for the air, deep breathing exercises, get out in the wind. You know what a lot of people do to clear their mind and clear their soul, their understanding? They get in their automobile, they open up the windows, they take a ride. You see? And then after the ride, they say, I feel so good because I took this ride. You know why? They let the air blow around them. It's good for the soul. The breathing exercises we give you is good for your soul and expands the mind. Your mind power will be on the equivalent of your breath power. If you have little short breaths, you have a little narrow mind. If you have deep breaths, you have deep mind. That's the truth. Air does have things to do with your psyche and with your mental composure. For the congestion of creativeness, we want to use etherical energies, ethers. Be aware of the ethers. You know, concentrate on that little auric field around things here. You know, you've seen that at times where there's been that just that little light around the body, or just when you're looking out the horizon and sunset, it looks like there's a glow right at the top of the mountains out there, doesn't it? That's the etheric. You're seeing the etheric of the earth at that moment. It's kind of a bluish white. You ever notice that? Well, most inanimate objects have that bluish white to them. More animate objects have more color to the etheric energies. Not all etheric bodies have this bluish white as the main color in them, but they have bluish white in them. You may be generating another etherical color. When you advance on a path, your etheric body changes. You know, if you had a golden etheric body, you would have the power of your mastery. You'd have adaptship. So put on the golden robe. Etherical energies. You know where etheric vitamins are being dispensed? Anywhere water is changing form. A fountain, the seashore, in the shower, running water creates an etherical change. And it uplifts and cleanses etherical levels. For your light body, you want to concentrate on the Akasha. When you look at the inner light, you're concentrating there to clear your Akasha and your inner light. The next rule, which is number 8, disease is the inability of the soul to experience through the body, emotions, or mind. If you have disease in the body, the soul cannot ensoul it. See, ensoul it is giving it life, isn't it? And so you cannot ensoul your body or your emotions, your mind, if you have disease in them, if you have a block in them. And the ensouling or the freedom of experience, that's ensouling, freedom of experience. If you have a restricted body experience, emotional experience, or mental experience, you'll have dis-ease there. And so you're seeking to overcome this restrictive energy in the consciousness, in this the soul not being able to get into the body. You should feel your body and feel your emotions and feel your mind. Get in touch with them and realize you're the one that is the actor behind the actions. You're the one's the feeler behind the feelings. You're the one's the thinker behind the thoughts. You're the soulful being. And you're giving power and light to them by paying attention to them, by concentrating on them. That's why we go through the body. That's why we go through these chakras. That's why we go through the rainbow bridge, to stimulate and balance every area of consciousness. See, it stimulates and balances, accelerates and balances, stimulates, accelerates, and balances every area of consciousness as we go through the center of the rainbow bridge. So if this soul of yours has the restrictions upon it from its own nature to give, because the nature of the soul is a giving nature, a loving heart. You know, we had a sweet little lady that lived down from us, a loving heart, beautiful. Everybody said she's a beautiful soul. You see, she was always giving. I mean, she gave nice little cookies and that to her the kids that came around. Sometimes on holidays she'd make things out of popcorn, little rabbits and balls and figures and that out of popcorn and caramel. And she fed her dog steak. You know, she was a nice lady. Give the kids popcorn and fed her dog steak. It was interesting. We came from a poor family, and I thought I would go down and replace the dogs one time. Especially when I had macaroni cheese so many times. Okay. The 9th rule or power here, or principle, is called disease is a purification. Disease is a purification. Disease is a purifying process. It is removing the dead substance. If you withdraw from your body, naturally the body wants to go back to the earth and the water and the fire and the air and the ethers it was made out of. And it'll try to go back. See? So the disease is saying, go ahead and go back and I'll just keep this part that wants to stay. You see? And so it concentrates on the part that is getting energy, and it's trying to eliminate the part that's not getting energy. That's why you must energize your body. You know, in the Oriental philosophy of healing, no matter what sickness you have, they get you up and move so that you have movement in the physical body. Doesn't matter what disease. I mean, if a woman's just had a baby, they get her up moving, you see, to get life force through the body. The worst thing to do when you're sick is go lay down someplace, you know, lay around in your sickness. Get up and move out of it. Move away from it. Act out your health. Act out your health. And don't give in soul the power of sickness. Let it go. Know that you're being purified. You were trespassing in that area some way negatively, and that's why the disease happened. So the purification is to realize what is causing your disease. Remember, we said eliminate the cause. One of these rules can't be used without the other rules. You see? So when you're being purified, don't be cursing yourself in that. Say, thank you, God, for this experience. I now accept perfect health. You see? Don't say, you know, God, where are you at? You know, the devil's on me again. No. Thank God for everything. The devil hates that, you know. The devil hates it when you're thanking God for having an argument, thanking God for having disease, thanking God for coming into a tense situation, thanking God for losing your job, thanking God for, you know, your mate running off with someone else. You're saying, thank you, God. And people go, hey, he's crazy. Mm-hmm. No, but what's happening is you're attuning to the positive. It'll be much healthier for you. You won't have the toxic releases from the organs and the glands in your body. You will have a nice, healthy flow. So accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, and don't mess with Mr. in between. The 10th rule or power or principle here is called, when in doubt, heal through the heart center, the heart chakra. When you're in doubt, heal through the heart chakra. Now the reasoning for healing through the heart chakra is the blood moves through the heart chakra and it goes to every organ, goes to every part of the body. So as you charge the blood will carry the healing because it carries the food for the cells. It'll carry the healing to the rest of the body and it'll feed the body healing rays. So if you don't know exactly where to concentrate the healing in the body, concentrate on the heart of the individual. See a pure heart there. It says, give me a pure heart, O my Lord. Renew the tranquil conscience within my soul, O my hope. You see, that pure heart, that pure heart. So you're sending that pureness to the heart chakra, and it goes throughout the body. It goes and heals wherever the blood takes it. So when you're in doubt and don't know exactly where to send the healing, send it to the heart. Now, how we send healing is we don't concentrate on the person. You know, a lot of people think, you know, I'll concentrate on the person. Well, what happens is, naturally, they'll become the healing channel. But whatever's released on that person will also come back. So if you're really seeking to have power and healing and not get the negative repercussions off of the aura of the other individual, you should send first to God, call God, and then let God send things through you. See? You're practicing all these things so you can be helpful and directive. If you don't know what to do, you're going, what? And you're getting these impressions. But if you have a nice matrix pattern, if you have a nice matrix pattern in there, then you'll be able to move through that matrix pattern. God will be able to use you. So be the best you can and do the best you can, and then God can do his work through you. See, it's not of ourselves that we do anything. It's God in us that does these things. It's Christ in us that does these things. It's the Master's in us that does these things. It's the power of God's Holy Spirit in us that does all these things. Number 11 is better for the non-acceptable to work itself out in the physical than in the mental plane. Now the reason for this is that the physiological plane is the end result of all other planes. Here it is solid. It can become illusionary in your mind, in your emotions. You may changing your thoughts, changing your feelings. But when you have a tangible experience with it on the physical dimension, it can't change that fast, you see, get away from you. Unless you're healing, I mean, you can have instant healing. God gives instant healing. He doesn't say, I'm going to let that bugger suffer for another week because they didn't do this or didn't do that. No, we hold off the healing. God gives it to us instantly, and we can be the ones to hold off the healing by our own nature, by our own limitations, by thinking we have to do something before we get it. But when you're present, you don't have to be concerned about that. So it's better to have it as a solid state of the physical, so then you can focus and have that clear physical change. But you may chase it around in your mind, your emotions, or in your knowledge or beliefs for a long, long time before you find it. It has many places to hide, but it does not hide. Once it's manifested physically, it's right out there in the open for everyone to check and see as well. The 12th principle here is the aura is magnetic. The aura is magnetic. See, the aura by its nature is magnetic. It draws things to it. It is in the law of a like attracts a like. If you're holding a bright aura, you get bright things come to you. If you hold a dark aura, you get dark things coming to you. If you fear that you're going to have a problem and you hold that in your aura, pretty soon you'll have the problem come. See, it just wants to come and be with itself. You see, a like attracts a like, and if you hold on to it, it'll hold on to you. That's the way it works. So you're seeking not to let things be attached to you, so don't let them in your aura. You can clear your aura. You should be, with your exercises, every time you're going over this rainbow bridge, you're doing an aura cleansing process already. You're clearing yourself. You're going to that highest level and come up. See? You're not to go up and then come back to your old self and old ways. You know, some people say, boy, I went way out there. I was really up there, and now I've come back. And what they're saying to the subconscious mind, here I am, same old place, same old humdrum affair. You see, here I'm back again. No, you're never the same. Here I am renewed. In the light of God, I'm renewed. In this pure white light, I'm renewed. See the renewal of yourself, the growth and the innocence of yourself. So in the 12th rule, we understand that the aura is magnetic. It'll draw things to you. And if you conjure up a negative, it will certainly come to you. If you fear you've got a disease, the disease will come to spend time with you until you throw it off or it takes the body away from you. 13. When the positive radiations of the healing rays touch the patient, they overcome the negative rays. See, when the positive rays touch the negative rays of the patient, healing results. See, when the positive rays touch the negative rays of the patient, healing results at that point. See, what happens is, when a positive and negative come together, they create a neutral. And you continue to throw the positive energies out and generate them until the negative is eliminated. So just don't think that sometimes that a person's going to be healed just because you prayed once. You may have to pray for days and days, months, or even years before you get through to that person. They may be nulling out your prayers, and they may be coming earnestly seeking, God help me, and they're asking people to pray for me, but they're holding to the old causes. They're still got the splinter in there and trying to get the symptoms satisfied and not remove the cause, you see. And if someone does not remove the cause, you may temporarily pull them out of something, but then as soon as they start acting out of that old cause again, they're going to regenerate the same illness, the same disease, the same suffering. So if you've been treating symptoms and you've been chasing this thing around for years and years and years, the cause has been throwing out symptoms in your path, and you've been playing with the symptoms. Go right through the symptoms to the cause. What is the cause here? Go directly to the source of things. So that this positive radiation in you can then generate from the source and then throw all lesser forms out of that center. The 14th principle here is plan recreation in all the levels of consciousness. Plans for that patient or that counselor or that one you're counseling or yourself as the counselor and you are counseling yourself. Plan recreation in your various bodies of consciousness. See, in your physical body, plan some physical recreation in this physical body. In your emotional body, plan some recreation. In your mental body, plan some recreation. In your soul body, in your creative body, in your universal and individual bodies here, plan recreation each level of this consciousness here. It's important that we plan some recreation here. If you wanted to build up your physical body, go out there and you exercise it, and you'll find you start building it up, see? Just like through repetition of lifting weights or doing yogic exercises or acrobatics or aerobics or any of those kind of things or calisthenics or any physical exercises, you build up the physical body. So you know you need that. You also need emotional exercises. You need to be able to get out emotionally and do the things you really desire, you know. Exercise your emotional body. Go out and have some fun in life. You know, it seems like fun is the last thing we do. We got to get serious and, you know, the bills have to be paid. You know, I got to have this money. Got to work. And we get so much on work that we tie up our fun. oh, I can't afford to have fun. I got to sit in the house and be miserable. I mean, when I was a child, we didn't have television. We had a lot of fun. We made things. We played games. We played instruments. How long since you had a little pantomime thing going? Something, a little game you're playing with your friends, your neighbors. Something you enjoy, going to Disneyland, I mean, going over the seashore, going up into the mountains, going camping, something, getting out to where you can let your emotions flow, going to a nice social affair, a nice function where there's a lot of people there where you can feel good and happy and joyful and share emotionally, you see. Let the joy flow. Give exercises to that emotional body. To the mental body, ponder things. Ponder pose and form and consciousness. Pondering exercises the mental body. Pondering. In the soulful body, things you know. Exercise your knowledge, experience. Exercise your experiences. The creative body, let your talent flow. You see? Practice in every level. Number 15. The patient should join a healing group or circle. Do you know when you're with a group, you have more abilities to have healing? So it's important that you get with the group, because the masters, the higher power, can work through that group to help to heal you. Even in the group you're setting now, God is healing and working with you right this very moment. Number 16, knowledge leads to power and healing. When you have knowledge, you have power. Knowledge is self-knowledge is the most important, and at the earliest age that you can get self-knowledge, where you can teach your children or youth that's about you, give them ability to gain knowledge, the more power they will have. They will have a great generation of power. So knowledge is power, and power leads to healing. And so as you get the knowledge of the healing arts or the mystical power, the spiritual power, or the ministering abilities, any other teaching, as you practice, that will become a part of you. You will attain that. That will flow because you have knowledge, understanding of that. See, knowledge has understanding in it, has experience in it, has ability to give in it, as well as take. 17. The touch of light healing brings the body, mind, and spirit in union. When you're working with this healing technique, it's bringing the body, the mind, and the spirit all into oneness. Number 17. Oh, that was number 17. Number 18. The will rays of God and the love rays of God come through your body. So the will rays come through the head, and the love rays come through the heart. So when you're dispensing the energies out, the will of God comes through your head centers before it gets all involved with your heart and the other levels. And so the will of God is coming out here, and His power is coming out through these head centers. And you have the crown and the brow and the altar center, and you're drawing energy and out through the throat. You're drawing energy out through these head chakras. See, and that brings the will of God. And so you're sending from that level. And then when you send with your soul, your psychic power, your heart, you're sending the love of God out. See, psychics are little lovers, you know that. They're all lovers. And they have to be lovers to be psychic, because you can't have union with something you don't love. See, you can only objectively look at it. But when you love something, you want to be part of it, and it's part of you. You see, that's love, the adhesive, see. And so God's love rays work through your heart. Number 19. This touch of light healing uses the law of a like attracts a like. Number 19 is we use the law of a like attracts a like. If you want peace to come to the person, you send them peace ray, and more peace will come. You see, but first your connection with God, then to that person, it's flowing from God through you. See, you're not sending it just to the person. You have your secret partner. God is always involved in your movements. Number 20, the rainbow bridge that we are learning here, the red, the orange, the yellow, the green, the blue, the indigo, the violet, the gold, and the white, this rainbow bridge we're using here takes our consciousness upwards, but it also correlates each level of consciousness. Each level is equal here. See what I'm saying? I want a whole bunch of red and a little bit of orange and give me a through smatterings of yellow. No, it's all red, all orange, all yellow, all green, all blue, all indigo, all violet. It's not a little piece of it floating in a whole bunch of something. It's the totality of that. It's the infinite universe of that. That's where the power is at in the ray, at the infinite proportion, not at its isolated proportion. 22 is energy and light healing are the oldest healing on the planet. Energy and light healing are the oldest healing on the planet. They used to take the people to the church and to the temples to be healed, you see. And it was the oldest healing, light energy, the passage of light, the passage of energy from one individual to another, passing that consciousness, you see. And so we're seeking to be channels for that power of healing grace, and letting the energy and the light flow through us unobstructedly to restore health within the other individual, or come into our own body and restore health, you see. And so it is the light. Christ used light healing and energy healing. The medicine Buddha, the healing Buddha, uses light and energy healing. Krishna used light and energy healing. The Tao uses light and energy healing. The doctors use light and energy healing, even though they may use a lot of instruments and everything like that. In the end, all healing comes from energy and light. It doesn't come from a metal instrument or some cat gut that they may be sewing something up with. It doesn't come from the chemicals and the stuff they put in the body. It comes from the energy and the light. The last two rules here, number 23, the efficiency and the penetration of these healing powers, the efficiency and the penetration of the healing powers can be obstructed by the person's aura. You may be praying and praying and praying, but see, these rays that's going there could be obstructed by that person's aura. If they don't want you to pray, if they are consciously thinking of negatives all the time. You see, if their mind's occupied with their generation of energy, nothing can get in there while they're generating. That's why you have to constantly send until they come to that point where they take a mental breath, where there's a hesitation. Then the healing will go in. But if the mind is generating, it's pushing things out, see? And if the person doesn't want healing, they're not receptive, it won't come in. They're pushing out. Some people may be using the healing or the sickness for some purpose and not accepting the healing, you see. They may want to get out of work. They might want to get attention. They might want somebody to give them some sympathy or some, you know, poor thing. They want to do something like that, you know. Oh, I feel so good when people pay attention. That's the only way I can get it. I have to be half dead before anybody will pay attention to me. Blah. You know, that's really sick. That is sick. We want to have pureness. We're outstanding and vibrant. You will have attention paid to you. I can't walk down the street without people paying attention to me. I feel every place I go, I feel the attention. Sometimes when I'm teaching the class, someone will look in the window. I feel the attention coming in the window and then the curiosity and the energy there. See, you'll be very sensitive when you are pure, when you're clear, when you're open. See? But some people that aren't clear and open, you can pray and pray and pray. You know what happens is, you're praying and praying and praying for them, they're getting worse and worse, or they're not getting healed or anything, then you lose faith. You say, oh God, I've been praying, how come they're not healed? You know, I've seen a lot of healers stop their practices because the persons they were praying for did not get healing. See, not my will, but God's will. Not my desire, but God's desire. Let go and let God. See, you can say, God, do a work in that person's life. Bring to them at the first moment that they're ready to accept. Let all this healing come in and do its work. See, so you can send and set a charge of energy around the person instead of that continuous healing. The energy, you go out there, and if it doesn't set a charge there and rush in at the hour of need, then it dissipates or returns to the sender. See, it'll dissipate and go back to God or return to the sender. That it's going to do something unless you say, stay there at that aura until that person is over this negative, until they have they've let this thing go from their mind. And the last rule here is the magnetic or the animal magnetism of the body forms the magnetic aura or the health aura. The animal magnetism forms the health aura. The health aura looks like out of every cell of the body is a little thin line. It's all radiating out in all all directions. When the aura is not held, there's drooping in that. There's drooping in different places in that aura. And you can feel that drooping. You can see that drooping clairvoyantly. You can see it with your third eye very easily. You can feel when it's not radiating out. There'll be a point where it's dull or it's drooping. And so when the vibrancy, this body is an animal body, so it needs animal magnetism. You see, and we're talking about the body here. We don't need animal magnetism in our spirit. You see, that then limits the spirit. But this body has to have animal energy in it to move among all the other animals that are here on the planet. But you're not just a thinking animal. You're not just a an animal at the whims of nature. You are someone that is in dominion over the earth and all that's on it, and your body's on the earth. The sea and all that's in it, and the sea, the water, and the sky and all that's in that, the air. That's your dominion, sky and all that's in it. You're in the air, you're in the water, you're in the earth, you're here functioning. So when you have that dominion, that means you have dominion over yourself as well. May God's great and Holy Spirit guide you. May you all live and move and have your being in the light. Blessings of light. In one moment, I'll go over the chakras with you. Blessings of light. This is our chakra chart here. And as we look at the chakra chart, I want you to notice here at the base of the spine, this is called the root chakra. And it's on the first five vertebrae of the spine. It comes in at the fifth vertebrae. And these first five are kind of cemented together. I'm saying cement, but it's not really cement in there. Some of people act like there's cement in this level. But actually, there is no cement in this level. These are all together here. And the root chakra comes out. There's a bell on the root chakra in this way. It means right there, the nerve ganglia of the physical body, the nerve ganglia has a cross section. It means there's more nerve ganglia there cross-secting than in other parts of the body. And so where it cross-sects, it makes these nice little round discs of light. And these are about 3 inches in diameter until we get to the crown chakra. So it's right here at the first five. Then eight vertebrae up, see five, and then eight vertebrae up, we have the spleen chakra. It's right here at the belt line at the small of the back. You see, if people are having physical problems, they get a pain in the root chakra. And if they having emotional problems, they get a pain here in the back, you see. And so there, or just to the left of the navel, it's over from the navel about 3.5 inches on the stomach, and then up about 1.5 inches and in about 1.5 inches. That's where the spleen is, and that's where that bell of that chakra is expanding out there. So you have the line of the nerve ganglia going here, spreading out like a flower in the front. And that's why they look like flowers clairvoyantly, and that's why we're describing as lotus flowers, and sometimes they're described as lilies unfolding, and sometimes they're horses, sometimes they're stars. You know, the chakras are called different things by different religious structures. And so what you're doing here is you're looking at how the nerve ganglia goes out here, and the heat and the light and the life and the chemical ethers is radiating in that particular place off the nervous system. And then you have the navel chakra, you go up five more vertebrae, so it goes 5, 8, 5, and at this fifth one on this here, on the back, where it hooks in right below the shoulder blades. You know, if you've ever had that piercing right there below the shoulder blades, it's a mental problem. It means something's, we even say people are stabbing me in the back. You know, it's like I got something hung up there and the energy's sharp right at that particular point. And then it's right over the navel, right over the navel chakra here. Right over the navel center, the chakra is. And so it goes from that just below the shoulder blades down. It looks like it's actually a lower chakra than the spleen, but it is not. It's higher because it's higher in the spine. And then we go up another 8 vertebrae. So it goes 5, 8, 5, and 8. And right here at the top of the shoulder blades, you know, you get that tension in there. It's like a heavy burden on your heart. And that energy goes through and out and over the heart. Now, it may be just a little off center, depending on where your heart is. You know, some people's heart is more right than to the left. You know, a lot of us think it's over here on the left center, but many times it's right in the center. Hearts move around, you know, are different in different people. And there may be, centimeters difference in where they're located in the body. So this comes down and comes right out of between the breasts there. And it's right here at the back of the shoulders, up here. You've ever had that tension there in your neck? It catches the muscles there and tightens up. It's because you're carrying a heavy burden in your heart. You want to be free in your heart. Then you go up and it's right at just before the atlas. We have 8 and then we go 5 up, and that's just below the atlas there. That's where that chakra hooks in. The nerve ganglia comes out at the front of the throat here. It's a 3-inch in diameter field here right at the front of the throat. Now in the brow chakra, it comes through the gland here and comes back and hooks to the atlas. And so it actually does have, but right here in the middle, there is no physiological connection because this is a psychic ductless gland, but it's by magnetics and enlightened energy that the energy is transferred here between these two fields. And so the brow chakra does hook at the atlas at the back. It goes here to the frontal lobes of the brain, right around here in the front, a 3-inch diameter. That is your chakra at the base here, at the root of your nose, and the top of it's right up here inside your hairline, right in the middle. That's the mental part of it, spiritual top, and the physical bottom of the third eye. Then the crown chakra, this chakra spreads over the whole cerebrum, and it actually radiates out until it's about a foot round at the top. When this gets illumined, it has the gold around it, it looks like there's a halo on the person's head. So when their universal field is illumined, there's a nice halo. If they're just realized there, it's golden. If they're illumined, then it's white. And so there's different color halos, you know, by how the individual has illumined in the universe in cosmic consciousness. Some have blue light around their head, some have a nice violet light, or some have red light, yellow light, you know, depends on the individual's evolution within the universe. And so this is a universal structure of consciousness and takes in both sides of the brain, the front and the back, and it's over the whole brain. Now in the center of the crown here, that also is there, and this the center and the whole crown, this is one unit, but we take them separately because this is the motor cortex of the brain where we have the power over the rest of the brain right here in the center at the top, and that's where we want to set in that crown. You ever notice they have that little shave point there, or someone wears a little cap there, or they put a little lace thing over the top, something to activate your attention at the top of your head. Some will just shave that one point, you see. Some will leave a knot of hair there. Sometimes they leave the knot down at the psychic level, you know, down a little further, and on the heads in some traditions. But each one of these chakras here is also going through a gland, and it also affects organs and that part of the body. So if you remember the chakras all along the spine, go 5, 8, 5, 8, 5. This is not the Western way. This is the mystic's way and the ancient traditions and wisdoms of the ancients. In the American Medical Society, they have energies going into the chakra or into the spine at different levels of consciousness, and we'll discuss that later. This is the chakras. Get this picture firmly planted in your mind. Blessings of light. Blessings of light. Now, in lesson 2-2 now, we want you this week to concentrate on the tip of the nose. We want you to gaze on the tip of the nose in this manner. We want you to concentrate on the tip of the nose, and as you feel your energy there, keep your concentration there. And every time you have to open your eyes to get back to the tip of the nose, do this. This is an exercise to pull in your aura. Last week you did the exercise to expand the energy around your aura. This week we want you to do the exercise to concentrate on the tip of your nose to pull in your aura. And don't forget to keep up your breathing exercises. Blessings of light.